David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm really excited because we have a very special guest on our show. It's Dr. Feinberg, and he is a dentist. He's also part of our podcast community. He has a podcast on our channel, so check his podcast out. He has some great information about dentistry and some great advice that you don't usually hear a lot because there is a lot going on when it comes to teeth, and a lot of people don't know a lot of the answers to a lot of the questions, and you don't want to be misled by people in the media. So who better to ask than a dentist? So check out Dr. Feinberg's podcast, where you could also leave your comments and ask questions. Today, Dr. Feinberg wanted to talk about the overuse of implants and how we can actually save our teeth. Because a lot of times we go to the dentist and they say, well, you have to get X, Y, and Z done. And we just say, okay. And we don't realize that there could be other options. And you need to really ask the right questions, and you really need to be informed. And Dr. Feinberg is going to go all into that today, and you're going to learn a lot from him. So keep your ears on and listen carefully. Dr. Feinberg, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. Before we begin, can you tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do?
Sure. I'm a dentist. I grew up in dentistry. My dad was a master and pioneer of full mouth reconstruction and crown and bridge dentistry. I have 100,000 pictures of crown and bridge cases that go back to 1950. All the teeth prepared and handled the same way, and the cases followed for decades with x-rays. And the techniques that I got from my dad, who got from his teacher, are not being taught in any dental school, and that is what has the track record. A lot of dentists, therefore, are having difficulties with crown and bridge to the point where they would rather not do crown and bridge, and they would rather just extract the teeth and place implants.
Right.
We also started to do implants in the early 80s when they first came to this country, and they were only being done for people with no teeth in the very beginning.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then all of a sudden, I think in the late 90s and 2000s, it mushroomed into this complete overuse and inappropriate use of implants.
Wow.
And implants, while they're wonderful, they are not the solution to every restorative problem.
Yes.
And I really believe that they should be a last resort rather than a first resort, except there are certain exceptions, but
right.
They're in the minority.
Yes.
And that is not being done.
It's, you know, it's really scary because a lot of times we go to the dentist and we put our trust in the dentist, and we, you know, the dentist will tell us what's wrong. They'll tell us what we need. But the problem is a lot of people, when it comes to dentistry, they just don't know what questions to ask. And I see that in a lot of areas in the medical industry, is that, you know, people should really, you know, learn what questions to ask and to ask, do I really need this? Are there any other alternatives? Can I do anything else before we have to do an implant? You know, what are the options, and, you know, how serious is this? You know, what are some of the questions when people come into the office and they get into a situation where, you know, they might need an implant? You know, what are questions that you would like to see, you know, people maybe ask, you know, to be more informed and more part of the conversation?
Well, first, I think patients should understand that dentists are in a lot of ways similar to physicians, that we're not all the same, that
right.
we have different degrees of knowledge and skills. And if one dentist can't save your tooth or teeth, maybe another one can. And that they shouldn't be so quick to agree to treatment until they're sure that that is what they want to do.
Right.
And it implants are not panaceas. They don't always work. I've had the patients where they only lasted 20 years and that was it. Nobody knows why.
Yeah.
And I've seen patients, especially with implants in the front, where you don't know how the tissue is going to respond. And you could end up with an eyesore that cannot be fixed. Very often, crown and bridge is a much better choice, much more predictable, and much more aesthetic. But less and less people know how to do good crown and bridge. So they're afraid of it. Even one of these fancy dental institutes, we have one here in Arizona. And I joined one of those little groups and I watched the videos from the professors in this institute. And they were afraid to do crown and bridge. And they went away out of the way to do overly invasive treatments to avoid doing crown and bridge, which would have been far less invasive, far easier, and far more predictable. And that's sad to watch that, and know that this is being taught, and everybody accepts it, that this is the only way to do things, and the best way when that is not true.
You talk about how we could save our teeth. Is there ways that people can, take care of their teeth better and be able to save their teeth before they have to go for an implant?
Yes, I would want to save my own teeth first. And the great thing about crown and bridge work is that that's different from fillings, for example. A filling can never seal the teeth properly because bacteria are microns. But crowns are made on the model of the mason jar cover, which is the best known thing ever devised for food preservation. So usually that's the end of it. So I rarely see recurrent decay under my crowns because of the way they're designed. And that's not taught either. So a lot of dentists get frustrated. Their problems are crowns falling out and decay under their crowns. And these are not problems that I have because the approach that's being taught in every dental school is to hang your crowns off of whatever's sticking up above the gum. And I don't care if there's any tooth structure sticking up above the gum. I only care about what's below the gum. So I've done thousands of teeth flush with the gum that I don't put posts in and I don't build them up and I don't have to do extensive periodontal surgery around them or anything. And I don't consider them any different than any other tooth. So that to me is a good tooth. Because if you take a look at the X-ray and you see the good long roots and bone, if you were going to build a house and you were going to put the foundation into the ground, that's the same thing. So you have a good foundation for dentistry. The problem is that they don't understand how to restore those teeth. So they would rather do what they know, which is to extract it and put an implant in. But then when you do that, you can't predict that that's going to be the success. Yes, it's true. Implants do have a high percentage of success, but you can't guarantee that's going to work. And now if it doesn't work, you have a real mess. That I've seen that too. I've seen everything when it comes to implants, and also crown and bridge. So if you could save everybody I know, including me, would rather save their own teeth first before they would consider implants. And I think that they're right. And
Oh,
that's what we
100%.
should be doing.
Yes, 100%. I'd rather save my own teeth than have to put something artificial in my mouth, and you don't know how long it's going to last, and you don't know if there's going to be problems later on in the future. So if you could save your own tooth, why not?
Okay, so I'd like to talk about a little bit something, another reason why. You know, when I look at a patient's mouth, I look at the overall mouth. I'm looking to prevent future trouble and not just to fill a hole or a space. That's a piecemeal approach to dentistry. That is what everybody is doing out there, a piecemeal approach to dentistry, fill a hole or a space. And that's kind of what I'm seeing overall. So what the patient ends up is with a hodgepodge of treatments and nothing relates to each other. So a perfect example is when I go to the dental lectures, you would expect to see, let's say, a space where the teeth are perfect around the space. That would be a perfect place for an implant. Nobody says no. But that is not what you see. you see teeth that have big fillings in it, teeth that have periodontal bone loss,
Yeah.
teeth that have crowns or are going to need crowns. These are the teeth around the space. Now, if you put an implant in there, you do nothing for the teeth around that space, and that patient's problems are never solved.
Right.
But if you know how to do good bridge work, then you can do something good for the whole area, and that's the end of the patient's problems. So you can compensate for the periodontal bone loss to prevent future bone loss. You can make the teeth smaller, ideal architecture, and tie them together so that they help each other out rather than each one has to carry all the forces by itself.
Yes.
And that's what the advantage of bridge work can do if you know how to do good bridge work. And so I have lots of cases where I have bridge work in the mouth 30 years and
Wow.
changes in the x-rays. And that's why I'm a dentist, because what does it for me is I get to see my patients come in year after year for their hygiene visits and watch the work that I did last in health. And they know I did something great for them because they have
Yeah.
friends and relatives who are never done with their teeth. They're always having problems, and they are not.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Right.
And because before implants, we had nothing else at our disposal to
Right.
save patients' teeth. Miracles. I can show miracles on the worst teeth you ever saw, and they worked.
Yeah.
And people don't realize what can be done in dentistry. Most dentists don't realize what can be done in dentistry. And that's sad. And
Yeah.
here I want to give this, and nobody wants it. That's what I see. They're not interested. They are only thinking in terms of economics and not in terms of the longevity of cases and patient health. Because I still think you're going to make the money either way, whether you do
Right.
bridge work or implants. You do what the patient needs, not really what all
Exactly.
the only thing you know how to do well. So that's kind of like that saying, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And patients are individuals. There is no one size fits all.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of different treatment options in my armamentarium that I can offer patients. And I think very hard, on what would be the best treatment for each patient. And I have options for patients who are candidates for sophisticated dentistry. And I have options for patients who are not candidates for sophisticated dentistry. But I have something for those patients as well. And I've helped a lot of people who, let's say, didn't have a good foundation for dentistry or didn't have the financial means to have dentistry. I did something for them. And I think as doctors, that's what we're supposed to do.
Yes, 100%. We're supposed to look out for the patient. You know, that's the main objective of being a doctor is looking out for the patient, doing what's right for the patient, treating the patient and keeping them healthy, keeping their teeth healthy, keeping their body healthy, keeping everything about them healthy the best way you possibly can, doing the making the right decisions for them and helping them make those choices that are good choices and not thinking about the dollar bill, but thinking about their long-term effect and healing them at the moment with whatever they may have that they're struggling with, you know, in their mouth.
Absolutely. I really strongly believe in prevention. I try to do the least invasive treatments and the best for each patient, but I know what has the best track record for success. I look at everything, the foundation for dentistry, and consider everything. And then I give the patient choices. I think they should have choices.
Yes.
And that's and if I don't know, I consult with other specialists and I come back and tell them, well, I consulted with so and so, and this is what he said that you
Yes.
could do. And then I'll tell them what I think. But and they were impressed that I would take the time to really sit down and think about their cases. You know, these are people who need extensive work. You know, obviously, if they only need a little, you know, filling or a crown here and there, you don't have to go to such lengths. But for a sophisticated case that's difficult, it's very, very important not to do something off the top of your head and not to and a lot of people fall into that trap and they make that mistake. When you are not obligated to give any answer if you don't have one, and there's nothing wrong in saying I don't know the answer, or I will try to find out for you, but I don't know. You know, maybe that patient belongs in a different type of office. That's the other thing that people should understand is, you know, in dentistry, there's too much knowledge. You can't really become an expert in everything. So even as a generalist, you have to pick and choose what you want to be proficient in, and then you send out those patients who need other kinds of treatment that you're not proficient in. That's what I always try to do. And a lot of dentists become really good in one particular aspect of dentistry. Like, for example, the bonding people become expert at bonding, and the implant people become expert at placing and restoring implants. And even the crown and bridge people become very adept at just looking at things, you know, from that perspective. And the problem is that the answer to every problem becomes that which you could do well. And that is not true. So you have to be very aware of that and know what the limitations are of your area of expertise. A lot of people fall into the trap of extending their treatment modality beyond what it's capable of. I see a lot of that. Even with implants, for example. So now implants are feats of engineering and are subject to the same laws of engineering as building a bridge across the Hudson River or building a house. Exactly the same thing. You have a foundation and you don't want to overload the foundation. Otherwise, something's going to give. And there are very famous engineering disasters in the civil engineering world where they didn't take into account the forces, and people got killed from that. In the mouth, thank God nobody dies, but they could lose their teeth. And what I see is people are treating these implants as if they could withstand just about anything. And the expert, there was a real expert in implants who studied implant biomechanics. He passed away, but his name was Dr. Carl Misch. And he outlines exactly what you need to do to avoid overloading these implants. And nobody is listening to him. So when I go to the lectures, I see very often they're placing these implants and they're building these big superstructures on the implants without regard to how the patient's going to take care of it or whether those implants could actually support that case. And when you go to the lectures, all they show you is how pretty it looks on the day it was inserted, which is meaningless to me. I want to see at least 5 years of documentation with X-rays. So otherwise, you don't even know if that worked. If it didn't work, and but it looks pretty, is that something that you want to do? I don't think so. So this is what I'm seeing. I'm also seeing the same thing with crown and bridge. If you went into a crown and bridge lab, I almost guarantee that if you measure every crown and bridge case, that they are too thick or too long. Because if you can only take off a millimeter to a millimeter and a half of tooth structure, you don't want to put back more than that because you're overloading the bone and the roots. And I see that's exactly what happens. And that's how a lot of people end up with periodontal problems. And for example, like if you notice Hollywood, when they go and they have their dentistry, somebody does slap something in 2 visits and they think they're getting top work and their teeth are too big, those people are most likely going to have periodontal problems because you are overloading the foundation. So It requires meticulous attention to detail and somebody who's going to, make sure that they're going to give that patient the best shot for holding on to their teeth. So I measure everything, everything carefully, and I know what I took off and what I'm putting back. And you have to be really good to put back less than what you've taken off because you're working with materials and they have limitations as well. So that's what I see going on. And I think because people have had so much trouble with crown and bridge, and it requires such painstaking attention to detail in order to do good crown and bridge, they shy away from it. And that's sad, it really is. At one time, I think even in the dental schools, they really focused on developing really good manual dexterity and attention to detail. Some procedures which they consider, impractical today, really try to instill a precision approach to how you do things and care that way. So that whatever else you would do, you would apply that the same principles, and those aren't being done anymore. So I've just seen the quality of care go down, not up. And the new technology makes it worse because a lot of it violates basic principles that exactly what I was just talking about, basic principles of engineering, basic principles of health. And it's just so that you could make something quick and stick it in. And that's not being a doctor. That's more being a mechanic. And that's really sad.
It is sad.
Really is. And I'm trying to impress this on people, and they don't seem to be interested. And that's what I just wrote my blog on curiosity and how there seems to be a lack of curiosity. And I was always curious. I want to see what they're doing. I take a lot of continuing education courses. I don't know everything. And I still learn things because I, if I could be better, I want to be better. And yeah, so I'm concerned that there's not enough of people who think that way or who were raised the way I was raised. But I have to say that, in meeting a lot of the dental students here in Arizona, what I see is that they are very interested, and they also.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I have a very fresh idealism because I was brought up with idealism and I was an idealistic person for my entire career because I had a role model, my mentor, who was my dad, who instilled that in me. And most of these practitioners have no role models and nobody who can guide them on the right path. I want to be somebody's mentor, and I cannot find anyone who wants one. Think about how awful that is.
That's scary. That's scary.
It is very scary.
Because you really have to think about the patient, and when you talk about, how you see so many people nowadays, they just want to slap something in, and they're more like mechanics than dentists. Do you see even the manufacturing of the products, the quality of it has decreased over the years? Because I see in a lot of different areas.
Yes. Oh, yes. Don't even get me started on them. Because they only care about their bottom lines. And I know everybody wants to make money, but they weren't always like that. When I started my career, we had a lot of representatives from companies, some really high level laboratory technicians from high level manufacturing companies. And they were interested in dentists like my dad and I, who were doing very quality work and unusual work. And they were happy to make things that we needed to do high quality work.
Right.
No more. All they care about is catering to the lowest common denominator, and they only care about their bottom line. So
Yeah.
they have actually taken off the market a lot of materials and instruments that we use extensively and that I teach how to use.
Wow.
I had to come up with alternatives that are not as good. And no amount of begging and pleading will change their minds.
Wow.
Okay, so now one of the things I made this video, this 5-minute video, which I put on social media, and this is what I wrote my blog about,
Yeah.
how I can save teeth flush with the gum without building them up.
Right.
And you need bands in order to do that.
Yes.
And for forever, they made copper bands. And for this purpose. And I also use the copper bands to make temporaries for these teeth that do not fall out.
Yeah.
So I can treat that emergency very easily and quickly. And most dentists are not aware that this can be done. So
Wow.
I have to use the aluminum shells, which are the same sizes, and you can do the same thing with it, but it's not as good.
Right.
That luckily they still make that.
Wow.
And they have the instruments to make the copper bands, several companies, because I called and they
Right.
refused to make them. And they said, oh, well, we would have to charge you $10 a band in order to make these. And so they don't care about what's better or
Yeah.
what's, what higher quality dentists want to use. And that's so sad.
It is sad. Very sad. What are some of the things that you'd really like patients to know from our conversation? What are some of the things, that you really want patients to understand?
Well, first, I want them to understand why it's important to take care of your teeth. So there are a lot of things. The way people hold on to their teeth is the bone and the roots.
Yes.
And most of the time, the way people get into trouble with losing their teeth is not so much from decay, but from something happening to the bone. That's what periodontal disease is. So
Right.
everything that we do, everything in dentistry is geared toward preventing the bone from being lost.
Yeah.
Because once it's lost, we don't know how to grow it back.
Right.
And when I talk about the bone, I mean the bone specifically around the teeth themselves, the roots.
Yeah.
And the roots are connected to the bone by a ligament. And no one's figured out how to reattach the teeth to the bone once it's lost. So bone grafts aren't going to help solve that problem.
Right.
So, the number one thing that we know contributes bone loss is letting tartar and plaque and calculus build up because that can cause the gums to become inflamed and that
Right.
can spread to the underlying bone. So the single best thing that patients can do for their oral health is to have regular hygiene with their dentist. And the other thing is that if you have unhealthy gums, that is a direct route for bacteria in the mouth to go into the bloodstream. And there is definite correlations between oral disease and systemic disease. So from that standpoint alone, you are really preventing yourself from having some of these other diseases, particularly heart problems and other systemic problems that you could have from bacteria entering the bloodstream. So that's the single best thing that they can do. And then the other thing is to be aware that we are all different, that
Yes.
we all have different knowledge and skills, and that if they don't like what they heard, they shouldn't feel, they shouldn't hesitate to get a different opinion and see what
Right.
somebody else has to say. And
Exactly.
that's as I said in earlier, that if one dentist can't save your tooth, that doesn't mean another one can't.
Yes.
And so they should be sure before that they do any extensive treatment that that's what they want to do
Yeah.
and that they feel that they're doing the right thing. And they should never, ever feel like they're being pushed into any kind of treatment. It's their decision. It's not life and death.
Right.
So they can think about it and decide when they want to do it and if they want to do it. And maybe their dentist will work with them. Let's
Yeah.
say they need a extensive work and they can't do it financially right now.
Right.
Maybe that dentist will help you in the interim until you're ready to do the work.
Right.
So I made a lot of temporaries with copper bands for patients who fell into that category. I wanted the teeth there and in good shape for the day that they were ready to do their cases.
Yeah.
And all too often they're turned away. One reason is that they don't know what to do with them for them. And the second reason is that they don't attach much importance to it. And they're looking for immediate financial remuneration right now.
Right.
And if that patient can't do that, then they dismiss the patient. But patients go through cycles in their life,
Yeah.
just like everybody. So you may have a cycle where you're down and out, and then in a cycle that you're in prosperity.
Right.
So if those teeth are in good shape, that you could actually make that case at a future date, God, you've done something great for that patient. And they
Yeah.
know it and appreciate it. And
Oh,
they're going to
yeah.
send you patients.
Yes.
So I want dentists to understand that.
Right. Oh, yeah. If you could help to keep someone's teeth healthy where they don't ha and save them from doing a procedure that it's not necessary to do it at this time, you definitely will make back your, if they're worried about profit, they'll make back their profit with referrals because you just help somebody not have to get an unnecessary procedure. So, you know, you're helping the patient. And in the long run, you're helping yourself because then you get that reputation for being a doctor who cares. Because, you know, I've seen many doctors' offices packed and, you know, and they're packed because many times they're like, oh, you don't need that. We're not going to do that. Or, you know, I'm not going to charge you for this because that didn't work. And, you know, I don't feel that it's necessary for you to pay for something that didn't have any benefit to it. You know, I've seen doctors like that many times. And those are the doctor offices that are packed because they know that that doctor cares. That doctor doesn't care about the dollar bill, but he cares about the patient. And that's what makes a thriving doctor. That's what makes a successful doctor. And that's also what makes the doctor feel good about themselves. A doctor should feel good about what they do because they know they're helping people. That's the whole point of why they got into the profession in the first place, or should have been the reason.
Yes, you hit the nail on the head. The best part is the relationships that you establish with people. People don't realize to me that, my patients were much more to me than just sources of income.
Yes.
I really cared about them, and I still hear from some of them. I moved to Arizona from New York, and I am seeing some patients here, but in even though I had a whole big practice in New York, I still hear from some of those patients, and I love hearing from them
Yeah.
because I really do care about them. And if there's anything I could do for them, I would be more than happy to
Right.
do whatever I could, even from here. And so that's the best thing about what we do is really helping people. And that idea is lost among a lot of practitioners. And now I'm going to give you a reason why. Which is something we must do something about. And a lot of the young people are screwed before they even start. They get out of school with $500,000 in debt. And their skills are very rudimentary when they get out of dental school. Your education begins the day you graduate. That's when your education really begins. And they're forced to work to figure out how they're going to pay back these loans. And they're forced to work in these mills like DSOs and mills where they're put into a production mindset instead of a mindset of quality. You can never be good that way, and you're never going to like the profession or give back. And when I started in dentistry, I didn't have that. And I also had an amazing mentor, and he didn't push me into production. He wanted to make sure that I did it to the best of my ability and quality. And I was very slow in the beginning. But as I became better, I became faster. And that's how you become good. And not going off the bat, oh, I have to do this in two visits and make this quick. And so I can make a quick buck. And because the day she said so. That's not a good mindset to be in, and it's also going to make dentistry not fun because we're dealing with human beings, everything is custom made. You don't know how things are going to work out that day. I never put that kind of pressure on myself. I only care about the outcome, that it should be a perfect outcome.
Yes.
And nothing else.
100%.
What sometimes everything goes perfectly and it's only a few visits, and sometimes it takes longer because some error happened and I
Yes.
had to backtrack. And that's why I don't like to skip steps either. There's this big tendency to do two visit Crown and Bridge that can't be good
Right.
because, you know, if you're dealing with materials, you're repeatedly heating them up to their close to their melting points. So of course things are going to go wrong. You can't
Right.
predict what's going to happen. So if you have a step-by-step approach, which is what I teach,
Yeah.
then if something goes wrong along the way, you identify the error immediately and you don't go ahead, you correct it
Yeah.
before you go on to the next step. So you know you're going to have a perfect result at the end. There's no guesswork.
Yes.
And that is, in the long run, is a much faster approach than trying to do things in one or two visits. A
Right.
much faster and much more long-lasting approach.
Yes.
So there's that saying that says there's never enough time to do it right, but always enough time to do it over. Boy, is that true. So anytime I skip steps, that's what happens because when you try to do everything all in one visit, errors are compounded and you can't even identify the error, much less do anything about it.
Yes.
So that's all your recourse is to do the entire thing over.
Right.
And so the better you are, the less things that go wrong along the way, or the less mistakes, or you're in control. So
Yeah.
whatever does go wrong, so what? You'll correct it before you go on to the next step. And that makes it fun because
Right.
you're in the driver's seat. Things are not happening that you have no idea why or no answer to.
Yes.
That's a very good position to be in. That's what I got from my father.
I love
And
that.
that's what he got from his teacher. And
Right.
this is being passed along because everybody's in a hurry.
Yep.
That's a sad thing.
Yes, it is. Now you have the online World Academy of Restorative Dentistry. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes, this is a teaching website for dentists. All of the techniques are really on the website, pretty much. I created 35 courses for dentists mostly, but anybody who's interested could take the courses. A lot of them are free, and some of them are very nominally expensive. There's a lot of other material on the website that I think patients might find of interest as well. There's a lot of documents. There's a textbook online that you can download, there's also my blogs, which talk about issues related to dentistry and dentists. I've written a lot of blogs. In fact, I turned some of these blogs into a book. So
Oh,
I have
wonderful.
two books. One is on a niche subject in dentistry, the double tilt precision attachment case for natural teeth and implants.
Oh, wow.
And I wrote this book and nobody knows anything about this. A really good solution to a lot of restorative problems. And it was invented in 1906, works great with implants, and nobody will listen. And my other book is the collection of blogs called Open Wide, which I think would be eye-opening to most patients
Yes.
and would enjoy reading some of the my previous blogs.
Right.
And so both books are available on Amazon, and my essay book is also available as an audio book and as a downloadable ebook.
Oh, I love it.
So, yeah. And I was thinking, you know, now I know how to do this. I made the book too big and put too many blogs in it. I would pick and choose and maybe make a smaller book of essays on
Right.
specific issues. I think I could do a little bit better now that I know how to do it. But right now, I'm working on my third book, which is another textbook on how to do Crown and Bridge.
Oh,
So
I love
I
it.
actually have to remake some of the courses because they're 5 and 6 years old, and I want to update them and make them better because I'm
Yes.
better at this now. And at the same time, I'm going to do the corresponding textbook chapter.
Oh, I
So
love
that's
it.
what I'm working on.
That's wonderful. Now, where can people find your website?
It's www.the Onward, Onward, program.com. So the Onward program is one word.com.
I love it. I love it. And if they have any questions, can they find you on the website and contact you through there? Is there a particular way that
Yes, all my contact information is on the website. I'm not too hard to find,
Oh,
and I'd be happy to help anybody in any way that I can. I can't really give them specific advice about their case. I
yes.
could only give them general advice and maybe try to help them if I can find anybody if they want to visit a dentist. I've made contacts all over the country, but there are very, very few dentists who do the kind of work that I did in my career. And that to me is very frightening because what I'm doing really comes from the roots of dentistry. So that's one thing that really bothers me is that if you have a scientific profession, really anything new that comes down the pike should be compared to the standard of what came before. That is
Yes.
not being done. That is not being done in Crown and Bridge. Other areas of dentistry have made huge strides, like root canal therapy. They are worlds ahead of when I graduated from dentistry, and also orthodontics. I think they've made huge strides too, in orthodontic treatments.
Yes.
But Crown and Bridge, even with all the fancy technology, has gone backwards. A lot of what comes out of this, some of these modern equipments, could never hold a candle to the work that my dad did
Yeah.
in the 1950s.
Right.
That's bad. I have all the pictures to prove it. Anybody who wants to see them, that's what I put into the courses, all these pictures. I have thousands of cases
Wow.
to illustrate the points in my courses. And that's the real evidence, is the clinical evidence.
Yes. That's amazing. Oh my God, Dr. Feinberg, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing this information. There are so many people out there that, have so many issues when it comes to dentistry, and they don't know the questions to ask. They don't know what to look for. They don't know how to save their teeth. They don't even realize that there are other options. They just, whatever the dentist says, that's what they do. And sometimes it's not always the right decision, like you said. And it's sometimes it's better to get a second, opinion and to and you know. And maybe talk to another dentist about other options, possibility of saving your teeth through doing something else, and even preventative care, like you mentioned also, taking care of your teeth, trying to prevent some of these issues from happening ahead of time. And I think you provided a whirlwind of information today, and you've really, helped to wake up some people and really think about, when they go to a dentist, what they need to really think about and the options that are available and that they really need to understand, and maybe well educate themselves a little bit too about their teeth because it's a very important part of our body. People don't realize, but we need to take care of our teeth. And if you don't have your teeth, there's a lot of issues, that you're going to have. And and even if you have an infection, that could lead right to the heart. And so taking care of your teeth is very important. And people have to realize that, especially when it comes to, on overuse of implants, there are other ways to go about it, and that they really, really need to stay on top of things. So I'm really glad you have your website because it seems that you can learn a lot from just your website alone. So thank you so much for putting so much care into this and teaching people and helping people because, people need more people like you.
Thank you. And I appreciate what you're doing so that I could get my message across because I really do want people to understand and be in a better position to help themselves.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a great day, Dr. Feinberg.
You too.